Hello and welcome to The Court Jester, your weekly window into medieval absurdity. I am your host, Cleo Bethenu, medievalist and storyteller, and I thought we'd kickstart March with something different, seeing that this week it's also International Women's Day. So I thought I'd share with you one of my favourite stories of a woman not like others. The story that we're talking about is called The Belt, and it's by Dietrich of the Gletze. The story has been preserved in two manuscripts in Heidelberg, and we can safely date it somewhere between 1270 and 1290. The author cites several sources, we can't confirm any of them, and only elements of the story seem to have been inspired by other sources, so it's a purely medieval German story. Usual content warnings apply. Discussions about gender and sexuality are very relevant in this one, and not so much obscenity, at least not very overt one. But consider yourselves warned, and please, if you do continue, consume this content in context. So if you're ready, let's go! Once upon a time, there was a knight, a praiseworthy knight, who possessed many virtues. He was called Conrad, and he was well known and quite loved. He used to spend his time with the most noble people at court. He was very generous. He had many friends. Overall, a splendid knight. And as was proper, he had married a woman of exceptional virtue as well. She was pretty. She was well-mannered. Everything about her was nice and proper, and nobody had any bad word to say about her. Her goodness made everyone happy. She was the kind of person that if you've met her, you were happier just because you met her. They were a happy couple and they loved each other well. And one day, in the month of May, where all the birds sing happily and all the butterflies fly around, the knight was sleeping next to his wife, as husband and wife usually do. And he turned around and said, "My love, there's something that troubles me. All the honor and all the fame that I have, I've gained in foreign countries, and I think it's time for me to go do something noteworthy in our country as well. I know that there is a tournament happening. It's only 2 miles away, and I would like to go there." The wife, of course, heard this and was entirely supported. "Yes," she said, "I'll be happy to take over here in your stead if you have to go there. Do what you must and be famous." So the knight started preparing. And 2 weeks from that date, he set off to go to the tournament. Alone in her household for the first time, the lady went into the garden for some comfort. And she looked through the fence and she saw another knight, whom she didn't recognize. And he was coming on horseback. He looked noble and attractive. He had a really good horse, and on his fist he had a hawk, a bird of prey, and 2 hounds, 2 amazing creatures, were running next to his horse. As he was galloping, she could see that he was wearing a belt that was so richly decorated with gems that she could see it from this distance. And she saw him riding towards her, and he saw her above the fence. And as was expected, for the lady that we're talking about, he fell so quickly in love with her that he almost lost his senses. He pressed his horse to run faster, and when he reached her, he jumped off the horse and went to meet her, and she went to meet him, and very politely welcomed him and offered him a drink and some rest from the scorching sun and some comfortable stop in his travels. The knight, of course, accepted, so she sent her maid to get some fresh water and some wine, and they sat under the tree, and they chatted, and he drank, but he was not particularly talkative because he was so smitten that he could not utter a word, and as the time was passing and the night was falling, the lady saw that he had no intention of going anywhere anytime soon. And so she asked, "Sir, do you presume to stay for long? Because if my husband suddenly came over, he would be very offended to see a man that he's never met before spending time with his wife, drinking his wine, sitting in his garden and treating everything like it's their own. Unless, of course, you know my husband. In that case, he would be more than happy to welcome a friend. Lady, I have to be honest, said the knight. I do not know your husband. Then I must ask you to leave, sir, said the lady. You cannot stay here any longer. Well, the knight was in a good mood, so he turned around and said, Well, you are the embodiment, the promise of love itself, lady, and I cannot leave you. I simply cannot turn around and walk away from you. You have put me in such a bond that I cannot go on in life and leave you behind. I do not know what you talk about, said the lady, and I would urge you to stop, sir, because this is really bad manners, and what you are proposing is completely unacceptable. The knight didn't move and kept looking at her, and then he talked again. He said, You are an incredibly beautiful lady, and my love for you is going to cost me my life eventually, so I will make you an offer. I will give you my hawk, lady, if you give me your love. Sir, are you presuming that I would throw away my honour for a bird? Said the lady. This is truly offensive. Well, I did not mean to offend, said the knight. I will, however, offer you my hounds, if you would consent to share your love with me. So now you're asking me to throw my honour to the dogs? Said the lady. Sir, you're not making your case very well, I think. You are misunderstanding me, my lady, said the knight. You can have my hawk, and you can have my dogs, and you can have my horse. You will never see a horse like that in creation. You will never see hounds like that in creation, to be honest. There's no prey that they cannot find. And my hawk, my hunting hawk, can kill a hare before you can blink. And my horse has never flinched before any kind of danger. So it's a host of animals that you want me to disgrace myself for, said the lady. That is just purely unacceptable. Hear me, please, said the knight. I'll give you my belt. Wait, it's enchanted. It's not just gems. Whoever wears it will never lose a battle. Whoever wears it will have so much strength and so much power that he will never have to struggle for victory. What's more, one of the stones on that belt is guaranteed to make the owner never lose honor and always enjoy happiness. He will never be slain, he will never despair, he will always be victorious whenever he enters a fight, and also, it helps against fire and water. Now this was starting to become a really good bargain, and the lady looked down at the belt, thought about it, and thought, maybe that's a good deal. So she called a maid and told her, tell the servants to not come in the garden, and turned to the knight and said, you have a deal, I will give you what you want, but first you have to give me the belt, the hawk, the horse, and the dogs that are now all mine. Of course, said the knight. So the lady called another maid and asked her to take the belt and the hawk and the dogs and the horse to the stables. And then she turned to the knight and told him, I'm yours. And she lied on the grass and he lied next to her, and she did everything she could to please him. And he was pleased. And when the game was over, flowers and grass were laughing happily around them, and the knight was ready to leave, and the wonderful lady said, You really got a very cheap price for what you're offering me. And the knight said, No, I didn't. The price I got made me the happiest man on earth. And with that, he walked away because he didn't have a horse anymore. Now this would be the end of the story, had it not been for a servant who heard all this, saw all this, and made a run for it, and found his master, the lady's husband, and told him everything about how his wife had been unfaithful, and lay with a random knight in the garden on a May day. And the husband was so stricken with grief that he never came home. Instead, he dropped whatever he was doing, and when the tournament was finished, he went off to Brabant. The lady waited for him, but days passed and weeks passed, and he wasn't coming home, and at some point she thought, he must hold a grudge against me. Why is he not coming home? What did I do? And with questions upon questions, she found out that one of the servants betrayed her. Quickly that servant was fired, and then she decided that she's going to take the situation into her own hands and fix this. Almost a year after her husband left, she took the horse, the hounds, the hawk, and she wore the belt and only took with her 10 servants that she really trusted, and set off to find her husband. On the first city they reached, the good lady and her entourage stopped at an inn, and after the first night, she sent the innkeeper to find her a suit of armor that would fit her, and then turned to the 10 men that were accompanying her and told them, "You go home now. I do not need any of you. And please, if you have any respect for me, speak nothing of this to nobody." And so the servants did. The innkeeper brought her the armor and the men's clothing. And she cut off her hair, and she got dressed as a boy, and she looked entirely like a boy. And when she put the armor on, especially with that big belt of hers, she looked like any noble knight. And so she set off to where she thought her husband would be. And sure enough, she very quickly reached a castle in Brabant. The local duke opened the gates of the castle, and the lady, dressed as a knight, came rushing in. Everyone was asking who she was, including her husband, who was sitting there among the rest of the knights, eating. She was offered a place to sit, and went to sit right next to her husband. "If it please you, sir, what is your name?" "I'm Conrad," said her husband. "What is yours, good knight?" "It's Henry," said the lady. "You don't seem local, Henry," said Conrad. "Well, I'm not," said Henry. "Then we must be friends," said Conrad. "That sounds like a good idea," said Henry. Soon the feast was finished and they all retired to bed, and the following day the duke decided that they're going to go bear hunting. And everyone was doing their best, but as soon as the bear appeared, Sir Henry's two greyhounds fell on the bear with such viciousness that they tore it apart by themselves. No one else had a moment to do anything. The dogs practically tore down the animal by themselves. And the duke was very impressed. "Sir Henry," he said, "how much for these dogs?" "I'm sorry, sire," said Sir Henry. "My dogs are not for sale." "Fair enough," said the duke, and commanded that they rode home. And on the way home, he commanded that he wanted now to race. So he made his knights race each other back to his castle. And before you know it, Sir Henry was riding first and finished first, and everyone was talking about his horse that rode like the wind and felt unstoppable. "Say, Sir Henry," said the duke, finally catching up, "this is an incredibly good horse you have. How much for it?" "I'm very sorry, sire," said Henry. "This horse is not for sale, not even for you, sire." "As you wish," said the duke. The following day, they went bird hunting, and everyone was amazed to see Sir Henry's hawk bring down 40 birds by itself. And more than anyone, the duke was amazed. "Sir Henry," he said, "how much for your hawk?" "I'm very sorry, sire," said Sir Henry again. "This hawk is not for sale." "Very well," said the duke, getting more and more disappointed, and the following day, he called for a tournament. Many knights signed up, and there was one knight among them, one big knight in a black armor that was unhorsing everyone he fought with. As the days were passing, he was becoming the sole champion, and one day Sir Conrad said, "I'm going to fight him." On their first encounter, both lances broke. On their second, Sir Conrad was unhorsed. He fell on the ground and was so gravely injured, and he saw from his position on the ground that Sir Henry was stepping forward. "Sir Henry, don't," he said. "Don't, he's too strong. I've never been unhorsed like this. Don't fight him. There is no way you will win." "I have no fear," said Sir Henry. "I'll teach this man a lesson for you too." Everyone prepared for the match, and as the trombones were blowing, Sir Henry galloped on his horse to meet the Black Knight's horse, shield and lance. They broke each other's lances on the shields, and both yelled for another. And then they rode again, and they pressed the spurs into their horses and rushed toward each other again, and Sir Henry unhorsed his opponent. And so they were on the ground, and he stood up and wanted a sword fight, and they started fighting, and Sir Henry pulled the sword, and so did the other knight. And Sir Henry attacked with all his might, and it didn't take long before he won the tournament, and also, as a prize, 30 horses. Needless to say, he was now the local celebrity. Everyone wanted a word with him. A few days later, the duke decided that he's going to go to war, And so Sir Conrad and Sir Henry were riding together as comrades, and Sir Conrad found the opportunity to say, "Sir Henry, my friend, I need to tell you this. If there was one way to know that you would sell to me your horse, or your hounds, or your hawk, there's nothing I wouldn't do to get them." "My friend, I need to stop you," said Sir Henry. "None of these items are for sale. Please, I beg you, stop asking." "I need you to understand," said Sir Conrad. "Do not reject me so harshly. I will be your friend forever, and I will do whatever you ask." Then Sir Henry looked at him and told him, "This is my condition. You said you're going to do whatever I want, and then I'll give you the bird of prey, not the rest of them, just the hawk." "Yes, yes, I will do whatever you need," said Conrad. "My desire is simple," said Sir Henry. "I want you to lie with me as a man lies with his wife, and you will let me do all the things, all the wonderful things that I can imagine and think of, and you will do to me what any man usually does with his wife." "I will do it," said Sir Conrad. "I will do it, if I must." "If you do this," said Sir Henry, "I will also give you the horse and the hounds, because it's been a long time that I've wanted this. So if you do this, I'll give you everything." "And I will do anything to get it," said Sir Conrad. "So lie down," said Sir Henry. "Lie on your back, and I'll tell you what to do." Sir Conrad lied on his back, and Sir Henry, towering above him, finally revealed himself. "Really?" she told her husband. "You were going to sleep with a man, not for a horse, two hounds, and a hawk, but just for the hawk? And I'm not even talking about the belt. And you want to tell me that I'm the vicious one, that I'm the evil one. For what? For sleeping with a knight from whom I got the horse, the hounds, the hawk, for which you were very ready to do the same. And also this belt, that incidentally will make you invincible in battle. And I only did that because you will have use of it and you will be a better knight with it. And what's the payment I'm receiving, husband? For exactly the same mistake that you were about to make? You disappear for a year and I don't know where you've been." "I'm not even angry, Conrad. I'm disappointed." Sir Conrad was startled, but was reasonably quick to regain his composure and some control over his senses, and started begging for forgiveness. "My wife," he said, "obviously I was wrong. And I'll be happy to accept any punishment you set for me. And if you say that you don't want to see me ever again, I will accept it. And I will do so with the greatest guilt. You keep the belt, keep the hawk, keep the horse, keep the hounds. These are all yours. You earned them. And I do not need anything to do with them. Just please forgive me and let's go home and never talk about this ever again." And that's what they did. They did go home and never did talk about this ever again. Dietrich of Gletze has created this poem to serve the ladies because, in his words, this is not done nearly as much as it should anymore, and the best payment for any man who receives a wound in the depth of his heart is lips shining like roses granting him a kiss. Blessed be he who can earn such fortune. This was The Belt, a 13th century story that resembles much to our Fabliau, although not nearly coming close to the levels of obscenity that we're used to the court jester by now. I hope you liked it, and if you did, please like, follow and subscribe to the court jester in every sensible podcasting platform, and tell everyone you know. Help people find the podcast. You can also find The Court Jester on social media. There's links in the show notes, and we can talk about this story and others there. And before I leave you, I need to make a special shout out to Holmes, our newest Patreon member, and use this opportunity to let you know that you can, in fact, support The Court Jester on Patreon. And if you do that, you get bonus episodes, additional material, and other good things. The Court Jester is my personal labor of love, and I don't have many things in my life to give me a sense of achievement, so knowing that you liked what I do means actually a lot. Thank you for listening. Until next time.